Father, we long for that day, that time where we will be in your presence praising your name forever. Until then, God, help us be faithful to live in a way that praises the name of the Lord our God. How we pray that you will do a work in and among us, even today, that will make us more like Jesus and more able to do exactly what we've just sung. And we will give you glory and praise as you hear us and answer. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. As we are continuing in our 40 days of Seek, we have come to the theme of the body. And this week, as you've already heard, is devoted to praying for the church as a community of believers seeking to build one another up as we serve Christ the Lord. Now, as we talk about body, let me just share with some of you, because some of you may be asking, where does this concept of calling the church the body get its definition? Jesus says in the Gospels, he will build his church, the word church, called out ones. And he says, the gates of Hades, the powers of darkness, will not prevail against it. He says the church is to exercise watchfulness over each other. And then this is fleshed out in many of the epistles as we read the letters of Paul to various churches and leaders in churches, and even the general epistles as well, doing the same thing, talking to churches about how they demonstrate power over evil and how they watch over one another in their mission of taking the gospel into the world. In lots of places throughout the epistles, you see this idea of the church fleshed out. We find this imagery of the body specifically in 1 Corinthians, other places as well, but in 1 Corinthians, where we're called members of one another as one body. We find it fleshed out, the idea of the church fleshed out as a body in the one another commands of Scripture. And one of my first series here was to go through all of the one another's and talk about how we are to care for one another. It makes a tremendous study for us, and I'd encourage you to go back and perhaps find Gene Gatt's book, Building Up One Another, which takes us through these things. There are specific instructions to churches in these various letters. Instructions in terms of what to do when one is in sin and how to come alongside and rebuke and restore, or sometimes if there is not repentance, to put out of the church. But if someone has been put out and they repent, to bring them back into the church. There are instructions we saw in Philippians when people are fighting in the church because we're not perfect. And how do we try and encourage people to get along and to work together in the church? We find all of these things in various places in these letters and epistles. But one of the greatest pictures of the body as it comes into existence, and as it begins to move from just a collection of disheartened disciples into a powerful worldwide movement in a generation, is the book of Acts. William Barclay, a commentator that I love in terms of just all the stories and illustrations he can give, tells an incredible story about an Anglican bishop who was ministering as a missionary in India. And this was decades ago. It seems that a Hindu man found a copy of the New Testament that had been distributed. He picked it up and he began to read, and he was fascinated by what he read in the Gospels about this man, Jesus, and he came to believe simply by reading the Gospels, the message of Jesus. Barclay then relates, he read on, and felt that he had entered into a whole new world. In the Gospels, it was Jesus, his works, his suffering. But then he came to Acts, and what the disciples did and thought and taught had taken the place that Jesus had occupied. The church continued where Jesus had left off in his death and resurrection. Thus it was that this Hindu man came searching and found this Anglican bishop and said to him, "I must belong to the church that carries on the life of Christ." Brothers and sisters, that's our mission. That's our calling as the body. Our elders have been going through our church's doctrinal statement. We're studying it together so that we are strong not only in our understanding, but how we might help others understand it. And just this past week, as we met, we looked at the section concerning the church. And among other things, listen to this statement we found there. As Christ's body, the church in both universal and local forms is to do on earth what Jesus would do if he were here. That's the body of Christ. This is exactly what we're called to do when we are called as the body of Christ. That's not just a pretty image. It is meant to drive home the idea. Gospels, Jesus on earth, healing, doing miracles, preaching the word, demonstrating the power of the kingdom, proclaiming salvation, dying, being raised to new life, going to heaven, and commissioning the church to be his body, to carry on his work. And so the body of Christ does what the person of Christ did and would do if he were here. That is what we see as we come to the book of Acts. We see it even in the first words of Acts chapter 1, where it says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach." I love that. What he began to do. Wait a minute. He's already gone back to heaven. And yet there's a sense in which the Gospels are what he began to do. He wasn't done. And brothers and sisters, he isn't done. And so this morning, we're going to begin looking at Acts. As I think about this book, I hope we will discover why I chose the word empowered as the word for this series. The title for this series, because this book, the book of Acts, is going to describe for us the power that Jesus promised and sent that occupied the church. And I'm going to argue that he occupied the church in the first century, and he continues to occupy the church in the 21st century. And the only reason we are not seeing more of what we see in the first century is because we are not expecting it. We are not seeking it. We aren't even sure what it should look like. We just know we're Baptists. And whatever that means, it means no crazy stuff. No unpredictable stuff. It might surprise you to know that one of the churches that we helped start is now being pastored by a man who came to Christ because Jesus appeared to him in a dream.
That doesn't sound very Baptist.
Have you ever thought maybe more and more in various parts of the world it should? And maybe even here. There are other titles I could have used for our series. I've actually taught through Acts before, 20 years ago. But as I was thinking and preparing and praying about this series, the idea of power has seemed inescapable. It isn't hard to see how you could choose such a theme. After all, the book begins with Jesus telling his disciples, who are still kind of giddy about his resurrection, but really uncertain as to what to do. He gives them the instruction, wait. There is power coming. You've got a big job to do, but wait until it comes. If you're like me, you'd have been asking, well, how will we know? You'll know. And they did. And that power, which is called being baptized in the Holy Spirit, changed them and changed history. That power is really central to Acts as the story of the body. You know, it's a great story. We're going to review this. And by the way, we're in a book again, so there are notes out again. If you'd like them, you can get them in the back. But I just want you to know, as we study this together, we're going to be reviewing a whole lot. And this morning isn't really an introduction to Acts. It's an introduction to the introduction of Acts. Okay, which lets you know how long I expect this series to go. All right, if I'm doing an introduction for my introduction, okay, we've got some things to cover. But I'm doing this today because I want you to see, brothers and sisters, just how vital what we're doing is, not just for this week as we pray about the body, but for us to be this kind of body moving forward. Because I believe with every bit of my soul, everything in me, that Acts is not just meant to be an amazing story that we put down and go, wow, it was great, God did things like that then. Because brothers and sisters, God is doing things like this now in the world. There are places in the world where people are coming to Christ so quickly, churches cannot keep up with the converts. There are places where all it takes is to give someone a Bible and they start reading, and like that Hindu gentlemen, they start reading and they get converted and they start sharing. And there are places where people are tearing out parts of the Bible and handing it to different people so they can start reading it and they can start hearing it and they can start being changed. Just like when a message of the gospel is preached and whole crowds respond to Jesus. That's available to us today. How? Through that same power. Just so we don't miss it, if you go through the book of Acts and you highlight every place where the Holy Spirit is mentioned, you will, like me, have 57 different markings in the 28 chapters of Acts. 57. I know that because Trent printed the list for me. You know, we're going to have to keep him on retainer just to keep me smart, you know. But I'll tell you, it was so good to just, and I've actually gone through, and I highlighted those, but I've highlighted every place it talks about being filled with the Spirit. Because we're going to talk about that a little today, and a lot as we move through the book of Acts. But it seems to be something that not only was expected, but happened a lot. There are demonstrations of spiritual power, not just the outpouring of the Spirit in Acts 2, but there are miracles, there are healings, there are revelations, there are deliverances, there is the raising of the dead to life. It might be easy to just assume that Acts is telling a story of a church that for a few years was just a miracle factory. You know? Boom, 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 miracle. Well, there were those. But you know, it's also telling a story of not just indiscriminate miracle, although there were a few cases that are pretty amazing. At that very same time, a man who could pray over someone and raise them from the dead prayed 3 times to God to remove his thorn in the flesh, and it didn't go away. So it wasn't just indiscriminate. You know, Peter wasn't the equivalent of Miracle Max. The fact of the matter is, God was at work demonstrating his power for a reason. And I believe that if we as a church, Grace here in Cedarville, here in a town that is college town, farming town, village, really, not even a town yet. There is a need, if we're going to seek to fulfill our place in God's plan, for a power that goes beyond us. And frankly, goes beyond what we can manage. And I want us to see if we can find it. So as we study together, I want us to see the various ways that Jesus empowers his body on earth. I'm going to share with you four today. First, we see that the church was empowered by the Spirit. That is the power of the body. In Acts chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus says, wait in Jerusalem. Why? For John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And by the way, everything I'm going to say, I'm going to say again, but that's okay because you don't remember. And we'll just keep reinforcing it. But this idea of you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now, that's going to happen in chapter 2. But it's going to happen every time someone gets saved, because 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tells us, for by one Spirit you have all been baptized into one body. And that's salvation. But so now, they didn't have it yet. They were saved, but they didn't have this new power that Jesus was going to give the church, so that they could do what he wanted them to do from then on. And once that power came, it stayed. It didn't just show up then and disappear. There was anticipation. Jesus even told them, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And I would just argue that if you have received Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will have power so that you can be my witnesses where you live, Jerusalem and Judea. You will have power so that you can be witnesses moving out Judea and Samaria. You will have power so that you can even send witnesses and be witnesses, not just to Samaria, but to the uttermost parts of the earth. We see it happen in Acts 2:2, where unmistakably, not only is there a rushing mighty wind, but there are flames of fire, because he said, Holy Spirit and fire. He says, okay, just so you don't miss it, boom, boom, here it is. You've got it. And they went with that power. But then we see this amazing thing take place in Acts 2:4, where it says they not only received the power, but they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, we're going to do a really good study on what that speaking in other languages is in chapter 2, verse 4. And I'll just give you a heads up. I am not convinced it was just being able to make whatever sounds you want and call it a language. I believe it was people speaking all the different languages that are listed, where people said, we're hearing this language. And a lot of people fixate on that and say, well, that's what it means to be baptized in the Spirit, or that's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Not at all. Because what you're going to see, and this is another thing I've highlighted in my Bible and told you, every time it says filled with the Holy Spirit, like it says in chapter 4, verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't say began to speak in other languages. It says said to them, and he preaches. And we're going to see that filling of the Spirit is a special empowering so that you can share what needs to be shared. Now, there it was in other languages, and people from all these other places understood it. Here, it's Peter speaking to Jewish rulers, and he speaks to them in their own language. But every time you look at filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to see it. You're going to see somebody doing something, bearing witness to the gospel and its power. Which is why, speaking to the church in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul says, don't give yourself over to influences that take over and lead to nothing. That's where he says, don't be getting drunk with wine. That leads to debauchery, to dissipation, leads down the wrong path. But just like wine can kind of take over, and everybody knows you've been affected by it, and they can attribute what's going on there to that, he says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Which means let the Spirit fill you to the point where he controls you, where he is causing you to do what? Speak to one another, to the body, to encourage each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He tells us that the Holy Spirit empowers us to speak to the world and to speak to each other and to encourage each other. We need to be doing that. So, in this series, we're going to be seeking God to work among us, to give us that power, and to fill us with His Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to do something very dangerous for a Baptist church. Would you all stand? I want you to get around a couple of other people, and I want you to pray for the Spirit's power to begin to work in this church in ways like it has never worked before, and I want you to pray that God will fill us with His Spirit. Okay? Do it in a Baptist fashion, but do it. Would you get together in groups and pray for the Spirit's power to work among us? I'll call us back together in just a couple minutes. Our Father and our God, we need your power.